So welcome back. We are going to continue. Look, this book is closing now. It means that we are close to end. Doesn't want to stay open. All right, so we are on page 288. And we started last time chapter about counsels or advices to suffering monks, sorrowing monks. And we had a very good discussion last time. It was very good. So we will continue with words of Saint Vianche, you know, it's from the beginning, from the top of the page.
The devil, being the creation and slave of God, attacks the soul not as much as he desires, but only as much as God allows. If a person can easily find out how much weight oxen or other chattel can bear, then how much more does the endless wisdom of God know about the limits of suffering of each individual soul? A potter knows how long he has to keep his clay vessels in the fire. If he keeps them there too long, they burn up. But if he removes them early, they will be weak and useless for daily tasks. How much more, then, does God know how strong the fire of temptations should be for the spiritual vessel of God, the Christian, in order for him to become capable of inheriting the kingdom of heaven?
Yeah. Well, very important words and advices, and but I think there are three things we need to take from this. Blanchino speaks about temptations which every day somehow attack us. Now, this is something what we have to somehow to keep in our mind. Did I have temptation this day or not? It seems that that day goes without temptation, that I don't notice temptation. It should be sign that something is wrong. Something is very wrong. Because temptations are sign of healthy spiritual life. What are temptations? Temptations are these provocations which are given through our passions or our invisible enemy, and they force us to act against God's will. Now, if we are doing those things naturally, where we don't pay attention, and we are, I would say, if I spend in talking and gossiping like 1 hour with my friends and I feel nothing, you know, no remorse, nothing from that, so it means there was no need for temptation, because I had no temptation because I was already there. I was caught. And if I don't realize that, it means that for sure I was not keeping in my mind God's commandments. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. So this indication that I had easy day, it means that probably I was not trying to discern what is God's will for me the day, and probably I was not trying to keep his commandments. Because when I keep God's commandments, which I find in the gospel, it's like non-stop battle. Because almost each hour I find something what my conscience tells me, okay, this is against this Christ's words, this is against God's will, this is not what is perfect. And then this and temptation arise at the time, which force us to choose easier way. to choose go against God's will, to do what is more pleasure for us. And battle starts at that moment. This is a fight with temptations. The temptations don't attack people. Well, sometimes very strong temptations that we can, especially bodily temptations, they come even if we don't think, but many arise temptations this when we are on this path of feeling of commandments, and this is something what many these holy fathers they say and they warn us that if you see your way, your life, how this path of your life, if you notice that it is easy, pay attention, something's wrong. Because what they say, there was their experience, because they wanted to be, they were thirsty for holiness, they were thirsty for this, be always in God's presence, and they discovered, that well, it's they are fighting with non-stop with temptations, and this is really something what we can test. We can choose one commandment and to tell, I am going to be sure that I will fulfill this commandment today, and immediately I find so many obstacles, you know, when I try to live that. And this provocation, these movements, the thoughts in mind, which would whisper me to do something else, I will act differently. This is why when we are talking about commandments, this like fifth chapter of, I don't know, there was like, he told us that when we try to keep commandments, so through this we are discovering our weaknesses. Keeping commandments shows us what is rotten in our soul and what needs to be fixed. So this is something, everything is somehow connected. He puts it to different chapters, but everything in spiritual life is connected. So now, the second thing we should take from this is that when we try to do this and we experience these like attacks of temptations, we can be overwhelmed, even scared. And we say, what can I do? We feel that it's too much. And many times when we try to defeat one temptation after another to resist, we can feel like even like tired, and actually we can be, who can withstand this? We are losing hope. And Brian Schindler says, God doesn't allow temptation to test us over our power. So we have to realize, okay, we are in God's hands. God knows measure, and for sure He will allow only so much temptation as we are able to carry. And the third thing is that we have to see this time of temptation. We are supposed to look ahead in time of temptation. What is the fruit if we stay firm? And how to say it in English? Like this potter keeps this pot, whatever he's making in fire only in certain time, and when you take it out from this yes, something happens what is beautiful, something goes to inside of that furnace and goes out as a useful, beautiful thing. This fire causes this transformation. So temptations really help us to transform our heart, and slowly this beauty which God created in us will be uncovered and will be seen. The same thing is that if you are going to gym, how difficult it is to start to exercise, and it's sweat and pain, but well, then you see your body somehow formed, you feel better, and you say, well, it was worth it. The same thing it is in the spiritual battle. Yeah. All right. Questions or nothing? Good. So let's continue.
A child is not capable of working in society. He cannot run a household. He cannot farm the land. He is not ready for any earthly work. In the same way, souls that have already received divine grace but have not yet been refined and tested by sorrows sent by the evil spirits remain in a kind of spiritual childhood, and they are, so to speak, incapable of receiving the kingdom of heaven. If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Temptations and sorrows are sent to a person for his benefit. The soul that is refined by them is made strong, exalted before its Lord. If it patiently bears everything until the end, hoping in God, then it cannot fail to gain the benefits promised by the Holy Spirit and complete freedom from the passions.
Yeah. So until Van der Kloos, he says that that true Christian life has this sign that it is like active excitement or zeal to please God in a Christian way of life, which is connected with sacrifice and with refusal of every sin what is against this God's will. This is when Christian life starts. Real. And this is very, very dangerous thing for us to go to this some kind of mindset that, well, I was baptized, so I received Christ. I was really received as a child of God, and many times with that comes some kind of satisfaction. I am fine already. But like Branchino says, well, this grace, if stays in the person, but it's very rare in our times, if there is no our activity with this grace, so we can stay in this level of spiritual childhood. We are not growing, we are not transforming ourselves. So there is always this calling. And on Holy Father's Day reminds us that, well, it has to be our active part, and is to cooperate with God's grace, that it is that we cannot reach with our powers salvation. We cannot do anything good without grace. But the same way is that these are our active steps and effort. This grace is not activated, if I say this, that it is not working in us. It is not something that God gives us and transforms us, and we just watching ourselves and in awe of what God is doing. There is always this small part which we are supposed to do. And without that this active aspect, this effort, there is no transformation made. And we have to do violence even to ourselves, to force ourselves to the active some kind of ascetical activity, which activity is great. My second parish was close to monastery of Redemptorists, this old area, they were marked by these old monks, these founders of this monastery, who were tough guys, you know, good, very good, but tough, you know. And there are a lot of, so you could hear from people a lot of stories that of this spiritual formation they got from these monks, because many people were going to monastery before war, and they were receiving the spiritual direction from them. And I remember that one old lady, she told me that she was going there, and maybe she was like 20, maybe at the time, probably. And she said, well, they were very good monks and tough. And I was like trying to, because I loved gossiping. And I was going again and to confess these sins, and to I was begging what I am supposed to do. And this monk, he gave me all like good advice. And until one day she went again with the same, and she started, and what he did, he like hit the pew with hand so much, so like bang in whole church. She was like, I was so scared. Okay, I will tell this. I said, I was so scared that I almost beat my you know. And he said, enough. You know, how many times you came, how many times I gave you advice, but you are too lazy to follow this advice. You are just whining, and you are doing nothing. So now go home and start to do something. And she told me that this bang, this hitting, and this like strong, like order, she needed, because this forced her really to start to follow his advices. And she said, well, she changed. She slowly removed this habit. But sometimes we need that, because we are full of goodwill. We want, but sometimes we need this, some kind of like strong reminder that, well, enough. You know enough things how to deal with that. You just need to do something. You need to activate this grace. And I think that there was a lot of truth in that. And there were many other funny stories. Again, because and usually when I went to visit sick people, this oldest one, they remember them still. Mm. And they were saying, they like to talk, these old people, the memories. And one man, he told me that, well, I went to confession, and in the middle of confession, that he got so mad, this priest. So he said, he stood up, he was like running around me, like, you know, that what I have done, I said, oh my, heavens were falling on me. Then he sat down and he said, you must stop. I stopped. So I don't know if they were trying to give me advice how to hear confessions, what they expected from me. I didn't follow these advices, but, well, it might work, you know, who knows. But at the time, it was probably good. They, what I heard, I think if we would use these ways of this month by using, probably would be in trouble in my generation. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, maybe because of the people saw their maturity and sanctity, they were able to accept them from them, even these strong sometimes reminders. For sure they were not always this way, but it was very interesting to hear these stories. Okay. So if there is some kind of lethargy in you, and if you're trying to delay this active, some kind of, recall this story about this monk who was banging on the pew or running around you, forcing.
But then you got a confession again.
Well, they like that.
No, I mean you. I'm afraid to go to you to confess. You got this in your mind now. No.
Maybe I should make like experiment and to try this tactic, you know.
Try on him.
No, confession is. This is a work of mercy, and maybe at that time, at that generation, maybe it worked. Maybe it was needed, this kind of approach. But confession is something that is amazing. What is really, really amazing thing. And we can experience again and again like this great mercy of God that we can come and if we have pain in heart, that he gives us again new day, new day, new heart, new day, new heart. And for sure, more we are making confession, more we will be growing in understanding of this God's love. That sometimes we forget to think about this, how powerful it is, this sacrament, what it does with us. But it's good to think about that, and then we will be overwhelmed by this love God gives us, mercy. So I think that I'm staying with that. Yeah. But sometimes there are moments like that you want to like shake, you know, that not because it's just this from this like. When you see that person is suffering, you know, it's pain, you know, that, you know, well, that's tough because I'm getting more interesting ideas. All right.
Okay. Souls that are given over to various sorrows, either obvious from other people or secret from the arousal of impure thoughts in the mind or bodily illnesses, will be found worthy of the same crowns as their martyrs if they bear everything until the end. The martyrs suffered at the hands of other people. They willingly gave themselves up to various tortures, showing courageous patience until their very deaths. The more heavy and painful their suffering was, the more they were glorified, and the more they were given boldness before God. Monks suffer at the hands of evil spirits. The more the devil makes them suffer, the more glory God will give them in the age to come, and the more consolation they will receive from the Holy Spirit here during their earthly wandering, even in the midst of their sufferings.
Yeah. I remember I'm making videos for Slovakia about like this reflection over words of Saint Isaac Syrian, And usually people comment these YouTube videos because they publish this on YouTube too, it's in TV. And remember that I was talking about that, I said, okay, so Isaac Sirian is giving encouragement to people and very in strong way who are in this spiritual battle and everything. And then I came what he says, and he said the same thing, that his words of encouragement was, if you are suffer, be happy, because you are going to be a martyr and you will get like this reward of martyrs. And somebody wrote a comment that, well, this is really great encouragement for those who suffer. And yes, we can we can we can approach even this his words with this spirit that, wow, what kind of encouragement you are giving us if you say that if we are fighting this temptation, that we are like martyrs. This is that we are like part of this white martyrdom with our blood, but through conquering our passions. The problem is that we don't give too much value to these words because we don't experience what martyrdom is. You know, like we had, you know, a communist, Bishop Goidich, we have his relics here, monk, priest monk, Trčka, or Hopko bishop. People still remember those, what was happening there. Still there are alive people who were together in prison with Hopko and with Goidich. And they saw through how huge suffering they went through there, how they suffered physically, how they were tortured. And so they understand what martyrdom is. What does it mean to die, to give a life for Christ? And they understand that why martyrs, they have like special reward in heaven, because it is really like ultimate sacrifice. So if we have this in our minds, if we understand correctly martyrdom, if we have some kind of really, we understand this value, so then it is encouragement. If he says that he compares our hard work with our passion with martyrdom, so we can see how highly it elevates us. These are battle, spiritual battle, when we fight with these temptations. That and it was was said many times through this works of Holy Fathers, that they are talking about this white martyrdom, and there are even like these visions they had. Some of them, and they saw that their monk who died, holy monk, they received crown of martyrdom. Well, this is something what somehow it's difficult for us to take in fullness until we don't have this experience. We are after like to see that. If you and look, those I can recall these stories. I cannot recall like now names or something. There were like these monks in Russia who were witnesses. Like they were just young monks. So they were like some kind of saved because they were, well, they were novitiate probably. And they saw how communists were like killing, shooting to back of head, monk after monk after monk, you know, when they robbed monastery. And they were witnesses of that. And they saw this calm of these monks, how they really received that. And each of them, they were offered, you know, you can take down this black robe and, you know, you can become communist and you can save your life. Even some of them, they got very good offers. They wanted to break this spirit. They wanted to have a lot of these traitors to somehow to break the spirit of Christians. And when they saw these monks receive death, and those monks, these young monks, it afflicted them for all their life. And even they were forced to suffer during their life. They couldn't leave monastery. They were part of this underground church and non-stop danger and suffering in many different ways. They became martyrs too, in different way. But they understood what does it mean. Okay, they understood that they suffered this physical and spiritual like martyrdom, but they understood that their martyrdom was like spread through years. You know, and it gives a big value. So when we look at these martyrs and we have someone on the walls of our church as the inspiration, we have to realize that we can reach the same glory as they did through this white martyrdom. I know there's not huge encouragement, you know, but it should be. I would say that it just shows that we became this martyrdom becomes is a little bit foreign to us. We know about that, but well, we are probably missing this historic experience or experience somehow of this suffering. All right.
Do you think Saint Mary of Egypt was a good example of a white martyr?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
She was. Look, she fought these 40 years in the desert. Fighting with each passion, you know, until she was purified. But personally, I still think about this Saint Sophia.
Oh, yes.
You know, mother, and which we have in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And look, she was not. Actually, she was not martyr, because they started to kill her daughters, Faith, Hope, and Love. And because they didn't want to deny Christ. Can you imagine that, and especially that your children are killed in front of you because of Christ? And what they did in the end, when they killed all of her daughters, they let her live. And so she is counted as a martyr too. She died when she buried daughters, and she died under grave. And if those people, these martyrs, if they showed us this firm faith, that they offered their life, they sacrificed their life because they didn't want to deny Christ. It's like inspiration for us. Nobody wants us to give a life. Many times we are required during the day just to control our tongue, control our words, control our activity, and to show love to God. Look, like this is something like I always admired people who, like, I know that, well, they had to get up early to go to work, and then still they were able, from work they came to a church for the liturgy and then go home. This is like, this is part of martyrdom. You know, it is a huge sacrifice, and it brings fruit. In the same way, everything that we are doing during the day, which brings us closer to Christ, and it is sacrifice, it's martyrdom, this white martyrdom. When we are killing our own will, killing some kind of our desires for pleasure, for easiness, because of Christ, because of our salvation, because of gaining virtue in our life. So we shouldn't be afraid of doing that. Because no sweat, no blood, no salvation. All right. Let's continue if there are no questions or comments.
The road leading to eternal life is narrow and full of sorrows. There are few who walk it, but it is the only road for all who wish to be saved. One should never walk away from it. Let us firmly and constantly bear any temptations that the devil hurls at us, looking with the eyes of faith at the treasures awaiting us in heaven. No matter what sorrows we are subjected to in this earthly life, they can never be compared with the benefits that are promised us in eternity, with the consolation that the Holy Spirit gives even here on earth, with the freedom from the dominion of the passions, with the forgiveness of our many debts, or with any of the inevitable consequences of our patient suffering. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us when we are renewed by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, so he teaches us that there are many sufferings. So what he means by this? Maybe it is good to remind ourselves, because we touch probably all of these five sources of sufferings already while we're going through this book, so let's do some kind of summary. The first source or reason for suffering is that suffering brings us to God. God allows suffering for us, may we are able to turn our eyes towards heaven. And when I will tell just example from, again, I'm using what I am familiar with. During communists, suffering because we couldn't somehow in fullness live our faith, there was always some pressure. When we got freedom, in our eparchy, in next 10 years, over 200 priests were ordained. Seminary was filled. You know, when I went to seminary here in Pittsburgh and Minos showed me his room, I said, well, you are alone here, but in my time or that these guys, you know, in this room would be enough for four or five.
Wow.
Because there was no room for that. So this suffering brought fruit. Now, after 30 years, we got freedom, life easier. Seminary has only fifth of that number of priests or seminarians. And if the bishops were ordained like in like batches, you know, six this Sunday, six another Sunday, because in once even people would not get, family would not get together to the church. Now there are years already that there is no new priest, you know. And what happened? The suffering we experienced was replaced by easy life, relatively easy life. Easy life, the kind of vocations. It's almost amazing, because bishops, when they saw this like wave of new vocations, oh, they were like, they built two big seminaries in the center of Slovakia, and another, that because they vowed to prepare like space for these new vocations. Now one is closed already, you know, and we are laughing that in the end we are going to have one seminary as we had before during communists. And it is something what happens always when and so it is just, and we can make more examples. I wanted to make this because it's more visible than these vocations, you know, but it is in our life. When we go through easy life, we are forgetting God very easily. Or we are adjusting our faith in that way, which is very easy and there is nothing going on. But when we encounter suffering in different ways, it can be sickness, some kind of problems with others, and whatever it is, and we feel that we are powerless, we immediately start to turn our mind and heart towards God, and we are begging for help. And this is why God allows suffering to enter to our life. Because, well, it is from His love, because He doesn't want to lose us. But if we are not able by ourselves to really keep our eyes focused on heaven, so He's using even this stick a little bit to force us. Okay, so this first source of suffering. The second source of suffering we experience is a result of our sins. So our acting, which is against God's will, always brings something bad to our life. Always. Even whatever pleasure, what kind of big intensity of pleasure this all sin offers us, it is very temporary, and it's followed by some kind of suffering. Sometimes it's like psychological, but sometimes it is like, if the sin had impact that I hurt somebody, how many relationships are broken through sin just because of bad acting? So this effects of sin, the fruit of sin, causes suffering in our life in many different forms. So we have to remember then, to, if we are encountering suffering, we have to make good discernment. Third source of suffering are tests, which come from God's side, and they serve to make us stronger and to avoid future sins. And sometimes we are tested somehow, and it might be, we can see there's a suffering because I have to conquer temptation. I am suffering and in some kind of intensive way, but actually this suffering might be this gift from God through which He is protecting us you know, against falling to the sin. Another source of suffering are sins of others, which hit us. The same as our sins affect others, other sins affect us, many times in a painful way. Especially, I would say that many times you have boss who acts according to his bad passions, and you suffer, all suffer under him. He is preparing hell to others. And the fifth reason is, our source is suffering, which comes when we are trying with patience to keep this peace we acquired through our spiritual life. For example, if we are we reach some kind of spiritual height, and for example we conquer this sin of gossip, for example, we conquer that and we enjoy this some kind of peace which comes from that. We are rejoicing that, well, with God's grace we were able to get out this bad habit, but still there is a suffering from trying to keep this state. We suffer. It's not very painful. Sometimes it's painful, sometimes not. But it's another source of suffering. Actually, I think in these five sources, you can find all these reasons for suffering. So I hope that it might help. Hey, Lucia. Welcome. No shoes.
No socks.
Yeah. It's okay. She's ascetic.
That's right.
Discalced.
Yeah. All right, so we have a few minutes. Probably we can finish. We can go through.
Okay. Let us bravely bear everything for the sake of the Lord, as brave warriors who are not afraid even to die for their king. Why, we were not subject to such insults and sufferings when we served the world and its numerous cares. Why now, when we have begun to serve God, are we subjected to so many problems? Know this, for Christ's sake are these sorrows poured on us like arrows. Our enemy, the devil, fires them at us to take vengeance on us for the eternal blessings upon which we trust and which we try to attain. He wishes to weaken our souls with sadness, despair, and laziness, and in this way to deny us our desired blessedness. Christ invisibly battles on our side. This powerful and matchless mediator destroys all the tricks and traps of our enemy. He himself, our Lord and Savior, during his entire earthly life, walked along the narrow and sorrowful path, and not on any other. He was constantly persecuted. He was beaten, laughed at, and finally, he was killed by the most shameful death possible, on the cross between two thieves.
Yeah. So, again, he reminds us that we should not be scared, because we are just following what the path Christ himself took. And we know that he is on our side. And this is another like source we can add to these five sources, that this sadness or this I remember I sent once one girl from our parish to one retreat for young people. I thought that, well, it was a special retreat. I thought this will be good for her, so I gave a suggestion, you should probably go there. It was really not general, it was really focused on one thing. And so when she So she went, and when she returned, I was really pleased, because I could see that she's on fire. She was so excited that from that, and well, I had a very good feeling about that. And then I met her like after a few days, and she was sad. I said, "What happened?" She said, "I don't know." Like this was like so huge fire, so excitement, and suddenly everything's gone. Everything's gone, and I want it back. I cannot get it back. What I'm supposed to do? And this is something. This is some kind of suffering which comes, and many times it leads us to depression, because we think that we did something wrong, and we want this excitement. But well, true is that it is something that is a natural process. God doesn't call us to live in excitement. He calls us to live as his servants who fulfill his will, keep his commandments, and follow him. And he reminds us again and again, this journey is, we can compare to this way of cross, which is difficult and painful. But this is only way how to reach this permanent, eternal excitement and fullness of joy. And so this is why we have to be always like, we were talking about that, but just a reminder that we have to prepare ourselves always in the time when our soul experiences like good excitement. We have to keep in mind that, I call it that, it is God's smile God gives us, which somehow pleases us or gives like boost, not vaccine, but boost, in our spiritual life. But when we need that, but it will not last forever. And at the time, or even before the time, we should always ask God for strength, even to have strength to go through desert, through this way of cross. As a Milan, Patrick.
I was going to say, when I worked on youth retreats, we always would prepare them. After a couple of years, we realized what was going on, and we always prepared them.
I did not.
Exactly for that thing, because they'd be really, and it was, a lot of it was based on emotion over the weekend. There'd be a lot of crying, and there'd be tremendous confessions, and there would be really and we would say it was like a vitamin shot, you know, that you're just suddenly full of energy, and that's going to wear off partway through the week, and you're going to want to get it back, and the only way you're going to get it back, and you're not going to get it back to that level, but the only way you're going to get it back is continuing the prayer. The intensity of prayer, the intensity of the relationship, making Christ your priority, then you'll be able to maintain a little better. But this is to get you going. And maybe once a year you take one of these refresher courses and you go on, but you can't let, we called it post-retreat crash, you know, they just,
yeah,
like 3-4 days later, yeah, boom, down they'd go, you know. So, but it was a lot of it, they depended on the emotion of it.
Yeah.
The principle of Christ suffering, making all suffering meaningful, was very impactful for me. And one thing I realized is that you can't ever suggest a cross for somebody else. They have to choose it for their own freedom. But at the same time, I was really impressed because Father Abernethy was talking about the cross and suffering, and somebody commented and was expressing discouragement, because that's what a cross is. And you know, you always wonder if somebody, you're going to have a conversation and you're going to essentially tell them that they still have to embrace their cross, how would you say that? But what he said was, that in Christ we have the only thing that, as Christians, we have the only solution to suffering, which is that it has meaning, and we don't have to suffer alone.
Yeah.
And really, that's the that's the gospel.
Yeah. Well, and we are supposed to base our evangelization on these two things, and to say, please come. Christ is waiting for you. You are going to suffer.
What's going on?
With a spider.
Spider.
Spider's going to cause some suffering.
I hate spiders.
It's right beside
you. I think it's a cricket.
Oh, it's a cricket.
I hate spiders. The crickets do that.
Well, but with you, what you said, Patrick, about that you prepare for that, when it happened, and I have to admit that, it happened that when I was very young, a very dumb priest, you know. And one thing is that nobody prepared us, that probably we had a lot of knowledge from philosophy and dogmatic and scripture, and this we were like filled with this kind of academical knowledge, but nobody taught us about these rules of spiritual life. And this is why, really, that what she experienced was my fault, because I didn't know how to prepare her for that. I lived in this together with her, with this excitement, you know, that I was happy that something touched her. Then I was confused that how can I help you now? And I think that this is the problem. I think that church suffers because of that, that this wisdom, especially priests, I don't think that even based on Miron's like formation, what he got in seminary, they were not offering this formation to be spiritual father, to understand that. I think this is the big problem. And so you were lucky that you had.
Oh, it took us a couple of years to figure it out, but we did.
All right. Well, thank you very much. It's 1 hour. We would finish that. Enough food for a week. Mm-hmm. Okay, no. All right. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.